Are you a fan of Power Rangers, Kamen Rider, Kaiju, or anything tokusatsu? Yes, that's what we thought. Come check out Toku USA Studios' newest project, The World of Nebulon. The comic collection contains two short stories, Nebulon, Friend or Foe, a classic superhero team-up with big action, and Project K, Welcome to the Family, which is if Godzilla met X-Force. The book also contains two preview stories for upcoming Toku USA titles. The first is their flagship series, Nebulon, Knight of Justice, and the other is Project K Origins, Masara. That all totals 30 pages of comics content, and that's not to mention some behind-the-scenes goodies. You can support this comic on Kickstarter now through April 30th for as little as $10. Link in the episode's description. So, pay a visit to the Worlds of Nebulon!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Andrew's Amazing Podcast. I'm your host, James Santana, as always, I'm joined by my fellow guardian of the globe, Hunter Van Leer.
Invincible. I got nothing again. They don't yell stuff. they don't yell powers in this one.
No, they don't.
So, I got nothing.
Jesus. Anyway.
We can't do any sight gags either, because no cameras. So, I'll just yell the name of the title.
Oh, my God. See, we do these every week, and I set you up for a punchline. And
not always. Sometimes you just hit me with nothing. But it's okay. It really just depends. Like, you know, with Nebulon, we could yell Unleash. But for that one, it was more of a shilling thing, so we kind of made it. I don't think we said anything. Or at least I didn't come up with any. But, you know, we'll find something. Bad Batch, we could say, like, you know, good soldiers follow orders. We'll figure it out. We got Bad Batch in a few weeks, folks. So we'll see what's going on.
Oh, my God. That's going to be a fun episode. That's going to be a good one. And for everyone that's been asking me at the store about my thoughts on X-Men, we are going to do a whole X-Men episode about X-Men 97 at the end. So do not worry. We will cover it on the show.
Yeah, we'll be up to date on both Bad Batch and X-Men 97. And like we are with Invincible, the season just ended. We're clipping it in. Put that one in the Hunter managed to keep up with the show playbook right there.
It's very rare.
Very rare. The Gen V episode will come out. We were going to do the Gen V episode this week, but I decided to wait until later on just to give it more time to breathe and to see what they're doing with everything that happened.
Yeah,
so
of course.
We'll talk about that more as we get closer to the Boys Season 4 premiere, or if we hear any news about Gen V in the interim. But as of right now, we're going to stay silent on it and not cover the show until there's been some space between everything.
Yeah. But beyond that, we are brought to you by Andrews Comics and down in Savory, New York. Now let's start off with some news. First, we have casting news for the FF movie, as people have said, with Julia Garner. Thank God you wrote that name down, because I forgot her name, but she's an Ozark, and I love that show. To play Shabala, a.k.a. Silver Surfer.
Shalabal, dude. Shalabal. You've been saying Shabala for the last few days, and I was going with it initially because I didn't know the character. But when I was looking up Julia Garner to make sure I spelled her name right, because originally I put down Julie Gardner, and that's not her name. It's Julia Garner. So I ended up finding the article that name dropped Shalabal. That is her name.
Shalabal, sorry.
She is Norrin Rad's wife and, like, princess or queen of whatever planet they're from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and they are playing the Earth-X versions of... She's playing the
Somewhat. You know, we'll see.
Because they are from a different Earth, the FF movie has been said that's going to be placed on a different Earth, meaning the events in this movie will be on a different Earth, which will explain why Galactus isn't in the main MCU and why there isn't a Silver Surfer, etc.
They just released another piece of concept art today, and it looks like the Jetsons, where it's like these cyber cars and these like monorail and these metal poles and everything. So it being set on something like Earth X or just in another Earth would make more sense, given that with this Silver Surfer casting and the Shalabal confirmation and the concept art we just got, it does make sense that it wouldn't be on this Earth, because you're telling me in the 60s we had flying cars, but then in 2008 with Iron Man, they're driving in Jeeps? Like, exactly. No. So it taking place, you know, didn't you chart in the 60s? That's going to be an interesting line that I'll see, you know, we'll see if they, you know, do anything it's with. Not... It could be entirely possible that they blip into the 616 during their travels, say howdy, finger guns, and then get sucked away after like a year or two. You know, maybe they dabble in our universe and go back. Or it could just be a nice little throwaway line because Doctor Strange is a little bit more omnipotent than he lets on.
Well, it's that, but also that was more of an Easter egg because like they premiered in the 60s and we haven't.
Yeah. I know it's witty dialogue, but when it's something like that where it references a certain time period and a character knowing of them, it kind of throws a little wrench in the machine, so to speak, when it comes to like, now this is just either a useless bit of dialogue if you don't do anything with it.
Well, it's not useless. It's just kind of more of a...
Well, no, yeah, it's not really useless in the movie. It works contextually, but it's useless in the wider scale because it's like, well, they didn't chart in the 60s. They're from a different universe, so that doesn't make any fucking sense, Steven.
unless FF in the universe was like a band in the original MCU, in our MCU, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's meant to be a play on the fact that the name is Fantastic Four, which is a stupid name that you can only come up from the 60s with for a team name. Oh, there's four of you and you're fantastic. And Reed calls himself Mr. Fantastic. Man, Reed Richards.
Yeah, well, I think because he's still Reed Richards and he's still a scientist, I think it's very possible that during the 60s time period, Reed Richards and the Fantastic Four were a group of scientists that wanted to travel to space, and then they shot their rocket up into space and never returned. So when they charted in the 60s, it's because they were one of the first people that were set to explore space and the wider multiverse with some technology. So they got like articles and stuff written about them. Ben is a world famous astronaut or something like that. And then they disappear into the cosmos, never to be seen again. And Doctor Strange's like, here's a funny joke. So that's something. That comes from speculation about what's going on.
It has with nothing just to do with
everything.
That. It's very much a very...
Until it does.
Line. It's not. It's very much a clean, just a throwaway line. And that's also them saying it in the 60s makes a little bit more sense. I hate it. But just like most of this movie, a lot of it seems very dated. And you can't retroactively add stuff to your time, and them coming from a different earth is kind of what my feel.
Well, you can retroactively add stuff to your timeline as long as you don't make it something like that concept art we got where it's very crazy. If it was just them wearing 60s outfits and stuff, we got Captain America, that took place during World War II. We got that in 2011. So it was like the third or fourth MCU movie, but Black Widow took place in 2017 when it came out later, and you can fuck with stuff. Captain Marvel took place in the 90s, and that came out in 2018. Blade would have been in the 20s if we kept going with that plot. Remember that one?
God, it's so stupid. Because the biggest problem that we run into is things like having like a character, and they need to stop really doing it, where like not every character needs to be a time-displaced hero that you need to fill your gaps in.
No, but at least for the Fantastic Four, it makes it work. Like, Captain America, that's his whole thing. Let that happen. That's Cap. Fantastic Four makes sense because of their multiversal nonsense. Weren't they here to begin with since they're... shut up. Yes, they are. Since,
they're
like...
Not.
When
they're
they
not. They're not. That's the problem. Like,
sure.
They keep throwing, like, the multiverse into things to make it make sense to a new general audience that's like, oh, hey, they're always a multiverse character. They're not. They have zero to do with the multiverse. In fact, the only multiverse characters in Marvel Comics were people like Spider-Man's people. And that's the only multiverse one. It wasn't until Secret Wars, and they did it once in Secret Wars, the new Secret Wars, Jonathan Hickman's Secret Wars, where they became multiversal. Anything before that time period, they were never in the multiverse. In fact, there's more alternate realities featuring the X-Men, the Avengers, and Spider-Man than there are FF characters. There's literally three timelines or three alternate Earths that the FF have ever seen. If Franklin and Rachel have their son, Jonathan, becomes Hyperstorm, alternate older Franklin, and alternate Valeria, if she's Dr. Doom and Susan's daughter. They are not multiversal characters. They have never been multiversal characters.
Except when they were written to be multiversal characters multiple times in the last 10 years. But continue. Dig your hole.
Only once in the last... it's only once. It was only once. And it was only for Secret Wars. And then they were gone for 5 years. And then they...
The Marvel Zombies. What are you talking about?
That's Ultimate. That's not
regular. It's still the Fantastic Four. It doesn't matter what they're doing. The MCU is everything put together.
Yeah, but then you're saying
it doesn't matter. They're multiversal characters.
They're not the multiverse characters that I'm talking about, like the regular FF, normal 616, our 616 comic book stuff. They are not multiversal characters. Marvel Zombies comes out of Ultimate Fantastic Four when it's Ultimate Reed versus Zombie Reed. But yeah, they've never really been multiversal characters, and that's just saying Ultimate Fantastic, the entire Ultimate line is a multiversal book then. It's not. You know, the thing is that we're running into now is that you didn't have to do it, instead of just making them kind of just part of now time period and make them kind of like, you've been building up S.W.O.R.D. You could have made them part of S.W.O.R.D. You could have made them a parody of things like SpaceX or like these rich billionaires that have like money, you know, that do like space exploration, like make Doom one of those guys or whoever. And you could have gone from there. Having them displaced from the multiverse only fixes the fact that you need to have Reed almost as old as Tony to fix the fact that you have no super genius now in your universe. And then if you just go, hey, he's just been here, it's kind of weird. But they keep making people time displaced, which the only character that you should do it with is Cap, because that's literally his whole thing. But you did it with Cap, and then you did it with Captain Marvel, and then you did it with the FF now, and it's like, every character doesn't need to be time displaced. You can just make them now. You can make them younger. I get why you don't want them to get their powers now as adults and be like, hey, because you don't want a whole movie where they're learning their powers. It's kind of dumb when you're putting in a backdrop of what's been happening in the MCU.
Yeah, we've we've seen three Fantastic Four movies already. Just the same as we've seen like 10 X-Men movies. We don't need any, unless they're new characters you're showing us, like if they're new X-Men, then we don't need origin stories or introductions to these guys.
No, we don't.
Like if you want to do an X-Men movie, we've never, let's say we use armor as our insert because they've done it a million times already, and armor is very cool visually to do. A little bit too on par with what Kamala Khan's doing, but shut up, it's armor right now. Armor could be a POV character. We could learn their origin. We could learn about the X-Men through her by her interactions with Charles Xavier and the outside world and how they view the X-Men in whatever universe we're in right now, instead of getting an origin for Professor X, which could just be throwaway lines or common knowledge at this point. You know, you can give us an audience insert character to run us through history. Like, let's say the Fantastic Four, they use... Oh, my God, what's her name? Alicia. They use Alicia. Alicia to do it. You know, they just jump back and Alicia's like, I'm blind. I can't see you, Big Rock Man. Who are you? Who are your people? You know, what is all this? And then the thing could run through like what they've done instead of giving us a full origin story. We can have the character kind of go throughout the entire story getting pieces while we learn just contextually, because comic books are all about showing, not telling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's words to tell, but the visual medium should be more transcendent when taking it from page to movie, because you can see what they show us and how they would explain certain things, as opposed to a book, which is all words, so you got to make up the pictures.
Dude, I 100% agree. It's very much like certain characters don't need origins.
We didn't get Spider-Man's origin story. They told us he got bit by a spider, and then we saw his Underoos costume and one video that Tony brought up, like, this is you? Like, you know, otherwise we just got context. Like, oh, I got bit by a spider, you know, I'm not good at this, you know, Tony's helping me out, that kind of stuff. Like, we only know that stuff because that's what we were told and shown. But we know Spider-Man's origin story, even visually we know it now, like, by heart. Bit by a spider, freaks out, climbs on walls, go web go, all that kind of stuff. Like,
and that's the whole thing.
We know what's up.
And that's the thing, like, when it's commonplace characters like that, and the FF are pretty commonplace. If you ask anyone from, like, my age and older, what's the origin of the FF, they'll tell you it's not hard. It's not really a big deal. We know they went up to space, got hit by some sort of rays, whether it's cosmic rays or in the Ultimate Comics, they were transported to the negative zone and popped back in. But that's how they should do it. You know, it's you don't have to show us. Unless you want to do it like, have you ever watched the 1990s cartoon of FF?
Yeah, a few random episodes here and there, but I'm more well-versed in the early 2000s show.
Okay. Do you remember, Do you remember the theme song for the FF 90s
definitely
cartoon?
Not. Definitely not. Definitely not.
The theme song is their origin story.
Oh, it starts up like fucking four scientists and three scientists and one cool little brother were thrown into a spaceship and fucking turned into monsters.
Look it up. You have to like watch the video of it. It's like it's the theme, but it's not like spoken word or anything like that. It's actually the theme. It's they sing it. It's really cool.
I'll definitely cosmic rays. I'll definitely have to check it out. I'll put on an episode before bed.
Dude, and because the entire series is a cold open to the series, but that's how they do it. That's your theme song, and that's it. And like that's that's everything you need to know about the Fantastic Four. It tells you who they are, what their powers are, and how they got powers, and that's it.
It would be cool if they do an homage to that, where during the opening like intro, they play something very similar to that over like the visuals of them getting their powers, something akin to. One, the thing you're talking about with the title sequence, and two, like Watchmen did, where it like, they are changing, and it shows all the friggin' like jump cut comic book covers and like classic storytellings, and like, look, this guy saved Batman's parents from getting killed, like that kind of stuff. Give us something like that if you want to play into the 60s vibe, especially too, where it's a little campy, a little cheesy.
Well, it's not even like it's. I don't think they're going to do that. I think that's only for the storytelling element for comedies back then. But like, even looking at the sci-fi stuff, like I guess because it looks like they're leaning into the sci-fi storytelling in the 60s, it was very much more of a big like. I'm trying to like.
There's some Ray Bradbury shit.
yeah. If you watch Twilight Zone or like Outer Limits. Or stuff like that. Or if more comparatively, like Black Mirror.
I know what the 60s vibes are. Yeah.
So they lean more into like big machismo. Like that's why they fit the stereotypes of the 60s sci-fi. You have the scientist. You have the big buff man. You have like the girl. And then normally a sibling.
You have some kid.
One of those guys. Well, yeah. And because Johnny.
Yeah, or just some random character. Stray kid. Like Short Round. Yeah. Just there.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you here? What's going on?
Because safety measures were so lacked in the 60s. That's why.
Yeah.
Kids just wander on bases.
But, yeah. And let's tiptoe back to Galactus before we get into the real meat and potatoes of why people are upset with Julia Garner. It makes sense that Galactus would be in an alternate Earth of sorts because otherwise he'd be a real problem and you can't just make him a one team problem. You got to make him like he's like Avengers 7 or 8 kind of problem. So having him set in another universe, you can even have the Fantastic Four team up with a few random throwaway characters in whatever era you want to make this Galactus fight in, where they team up with some nobodies like D-Man or something.
Well,
just to be like, look,
Well, it all depends on what they're going to do, but making Galactus the villain and he's from an alternate, that's how you make him a one and done villain in.
But here's the thing that can make it kind of blech in regards to what the MCU usually does is they take a concept and instead of just going with the formula that worked for years, they're going to just tilt it a little bit to the left so it's different and they can call it their own. What if Galactus, instead of being like a space traveling world hunger like guy, what if he's a multiversal traveler and he's traveling between every multiverse and every universe and eating all the planets and he just finished eating this planet that the Fantastic Four are on. So now he's going to get shot over to the 616 planet and that's why Shala Ball is Silver Surfer because she's coming over from a previous Earth. That way, if people want to whine so hard, which we'll get to in just one sec now, we're looping it back in. If they want to whine so hard, they can have Norrin Radd be a different actor. Like Lakeith Steinfeld, he made a post that was recently taken down saying, I thought it was going to be me in a picture of Silver Surfer. So it's entirely possible that he heard wrong and he deleted it or, NDAs. And... maybe they will use him in some capacity or Norrin Radd in some capacity by having Galactus be this multiversal presence because that's where the multiverse saga is.
Yeah, I know.
So that could be something.
I do agree with you. That feels like very much like a Disney.
Yeah, because then we can have Shala Baal and Norrin Rad have like a different, like, so let's say in Shala Baal's universe, Norrin Rad is dead, and in 616, Shala Baal is dead, or she dies in some event, and then they're both able to meet each. If you want to do a Silver Surfer TV show, there's your plot line. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they could, if they want to satisfy people and leave content open, you can even do a Valentine's Day special for Silver Surfer, and where it's a little love story and it plays off the Dan Slott plus some of the Starlin stuff back in the day and kind of mashes it together with what the MCU has with their both Silver Surfers. Or you just do a Fantastic Four Valentine's Day special, but I'm getting ahead of myself.
But yeah, no, I agree with you. I do think that there is something more to this when it comes to things like, oh, hey, you know, making Galactus a multiversal threat, kind of dumb because he's
yeah, I don't think powerful. It, I mean, like, I, you know, and Marvel, if you want to use what I said, you're allowed. Just let me know. Hit me up. Let me know. Hunter, you were right. Actually. You got this.
That's actually from the comics.
What, making Galactus a multiversal threat?
Yeah, that's from Ultimate Comics.
Then Marvel, don't listen to me. Listen to the fucking comic books. What are we doing?
It's from a book called Ultimate Destruction, where our Galactus, 616 Galactus, merged with the Galactus. I have to say it like that because it's three different words.
Sure.
In the Ultimate Universe. He's like the
pro. Oh, that's less of the same, but I know what you're saying. It's definitely very similar, where it's two universes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because imagine if Galactus eats an entire universe, he's going to be hungry. That could be kind of threatening.
So that's what they did in
Oh, dude, it would be. Oh, now I'm just theory crafting. It would be really cool if that's what Doom is actually after during Secret Wars. He sees that his universe is about to get got by Galactus, so he's like, not in my universe, and he becomes Super Secret White Mega Doom or whatever the heck he calls himself. God Superior Emperor? Doom, Old God Emperor Doom. I don't know. He calls himself the cool guy, Dr. Doom, and. The cool guy. He's got shades on and everything. Like, it'd be interesting if that was like, see, I'm not actually a bad guy. I'm just a dickhead who's doing it for the greater good, but I'm not going to tell anybody because I'm the smartest. Like, that could be an interesting concept to at least make Doom somewhat of like, oh, he's always two steps ahead of everybody, even if you didn't think he originally was. Oh, he's actually trying to stop Multiverse Galactus because the Fantastic Four didn't actually stop him. In their own movie, that could be kind of interesting, and that can circle back for Silver Surfer stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a Doom move, and that makes more sense.
It is a Doom move, because he's mental chess. He's always there. It could be cool.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, so this has been a little bit inside into what our notes look like. I actually color coordinated this week's notes, because I had some thoughts to say about some of the stuff that was coming out. I thought it would be funny if James got to read it and didn't, you know, notice it originally when he put the notes in or for the actual news. So for this note, I put, it says, you know, casting people are upset for Julia Garner. I put down, because people are babies, shut up, who cares? The likelihood that we have both is high. We talked about that. Plus, Julia Garner is an all-silver woman. I see no downside. I'm only human. In regards to Galactus, I said I feel like a duh is in order even before the Silver Surfer casting. Doom is Secret Wars, can't have a smaller story, I guess, whatever. But who knows what they really have planned, as Feige has been getting lit up by high-ranked Disney personnel. I put high-ranked Disney personnel because I forget who it was, but it was one of the Disney heads in the studios, like really getting upset with Feige because the last few movies bombing, in, you know, in quotes. Because some of them have been Mike Pencer. Okay. Yeah. So if Feige is under fire and they end up giving him a partner, or they refocus him, or they get rid of him, which I don't think they should do or will do, but you never know. Like, then this whole entire thing could just be like, if Fantastic Four flops, I think Feige's done.
Oh, 100%.
Like, this is like, this is your first movie of the adapted properties you took. And if you give it to us and it's not even, if it's not like, you can give us a 6 out of 10 movie. That's okay. A 6 out of 10 movie with good budget, good acting, and like good special effects, but the story is a little meh. You can get away with that. Especially if it's an MCU movie. Most of them are sixes. But if you give us like a Morbius or a Madam Web or even a Venom 1, Feige's done. Feige's going to be excommunicado. He's going to be out.
It's going to end up being one of the, this. That's the make or break of it. Like the other stuff, it's just continuing storylines that we've been having from the beginning. Like the Thunderbolts is a sequel to Captain America, which is a sequel to the other Captain Americas.
Apparently, Bucky's not going to have a big role in Thunderbolts. Apparently, it's going to be he's not going to be in Cap at all. And Falcon's not supposed to be in. I'm sorry, Captain America isn't supposed to be in Thunderbolts either. But I mean, who's to say if a cameo doesn't get filmed right before the end? But or NDAs. But as far as we've know, the Thunderbolts movie is actually just Black Widow 2, but with some spicy Captain America characters because they couldn't fit them into New World Order storyline.
It's so dumb.
So yeah, they said Bucky's not supposed to be a huge part of it, and I was like, that's gonna be stupid. But they could be lying, or he could die. Oh, get him out of here.
It's not lying because like that Sebastian Stan would sell that movie. That's the whole point. You know, you don't undercut your entire film by saying you're really your bigger actor on the project besides Harrison Ford being Thunderbolt Ross. Before him taking over the role, you don't undercut your biggest actor in this film to be like, we're making it Black Widow 2.
Yeah, well, people... I mean, because at that point, why call it Thunderbolts? Why not just call it White Widow or Black Widow 2, Strike Like Thunder, or Black Widow, even Black Widow 2, Thunderbolts? We'll take that if you just commit to it being a Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
Unless we're wrong. Unless the scoop culture has been wrong and it's actually a Thunderbolts movie just with those characters and it's not Black Widow 2. But it looks like Black Widow 2.
It looks and feels like Black Widow 2. Like, and it looks like Marvel's version of the Suicide Squad, which the Thunderbolts are. Like, that's the whole what makes it, like, that's what makes the difference between the Thunderbolts and
the Suicide Squad. Even the Suicide Squad, because they're not going to kill most of them.
Exactly.
They're going to kill David Harbour and probably Taskmaster.
Probably.
And Ghost is only 50-50 just because we don't need that character, but if you want to turn that character into something cool, they have a visually cool set of skills, so that could be something to keep going. But Taskmaster is just the same as all the rest, and the Guardian, we have three of those guys on the team already. I'm sorry, the Red Guardian.
Yes, but yes, I agree with you. Yeah. We have like, it's too many. They're like just knockoff versions of Captain America.
Because you're not going to kill you're not going to kill U.S. Agent. You're not going to kill Yelena, and you're not going to kill Bucky. I mean, you might kill Bucky, but you're not going to kill Bucky. You know what I mean? So those are the characters that I feel like are safe. And all the other ones have like, am I forgetting somebody who's in the movie? Contessa's not going to get killed.
No.
And Bill Foster, I hope he's in the movie, but he won't get killed unless he dies of old age or something.
And he's not in the movie.
He's not? Boo.
No. Remember, it's just Black Widow. It's like,
I know, but putting Ghost in there makes you think that Lawrence Fishburne would be in there, but we'll see.
But he's not.
Yeah. But anyway, let's move on from casting and now Black Widow 2. Let's get into some Daredevil Reborn. Yeah, they just finished filming their first half, which is going to have the Punisher in it. And it's not speculation. We saw them pictured together with him in costume. We got him, folks.
Yes, we did.
We got John Bernthal, the Punisher, back. Let's go. Very exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty much the news for that one.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be 16 episodes, and it's going to be 8 and 8, but maybe it's going to be – because they said the first half is done. No, they said it's going to be 16 episodes or 16 to 18 episodes, unless they changed it to 8. It would make more sense to be 8 just because that follows what you're doing now. But I remember Daredevil Born Again was supposed to be a one-season thing. That's why it was so long. Daredevil Born Again episodes. Oh, yeah. It's going to be 9 consisting of 2. It's going to be 18 episodes. Oh, my goodness. Consisting of 9 episode halves.
Okay.
And it's scheduled to premiere next year. But yeah, they just finished filming the first 9 episodes, which is going to revolve around the Punisher in some regard. And then the other ones will probably revolve around finishing up whatever plot lines are there. That's but right. 18 episodes is a lot to have for, you know, bringing certain characters back, like Bethel as Bullseye and obviously D'Onofrio and Bernthal especially. We don't have everybody confirmed to be back. This is from Wikipedia, so obviously grain of salt. But we got, you know, Charlie Cox, D'Onofrio, Bernthal, Deborah Ann Wall, Eldon, yeah. and Wilson Bithell. Those are all the guys from the original show. And then we got stuff like Michael Gandolfini. But I'm talking about the people that we don't have yet, and that is the rest of the Defenders. So that could be the other half, or that could just be people rampant speculating, but there's a lot of stuff going in the background about those now that they're canon again.
Yeah, but it's okay if they're not all back, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, it's totally fine. Yeah. We know we're going to get some sort of Iron Fist in the Eyes of Wakanda, and that's supposed to be the same Iron Fist that's going to pop up in another project. I forget exactly what they said it was, but there's supposed to be another project that's going to use the same exact Iron Fist as the Eyes of Wakanda. So me and you, I think a few episodes ago, were speculating it's going to be Orson Randall or something very similar to that, where it's the World War II or something styled Iron Fist. But we'll see when that comes out. Yeah. So.
It's gonna be good,
and we'll probably see. We'll probably see Echo return in some capacity as well.
Oh, yeah,
not confirmed, but you got 18 episodes. Daredevil popped up in one fight scene. Echo can pop up in one fight scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not hard.
Yeah, just to show you're still interconnected. You want to show, like, because the problem with that is, yes, sure, we saw Echo in Hawkeye, but now we need to see Echo in something else to make sure, like, oh, she's continuing to go.
Because you have to build towards that. Like,
eventually. Well, yeah, because the problem that people had was too many projects, not enough interconnectivity. Echo has been one of the only projects that has launched successfully that has been interconnected to more than one project that released. So,
yeah,
keep it going. Put her in Daredevil. Well, even if she's in one episode, one scene, we just need something to be like, look, there she is. That's it.
Or just a reference. Let us know.
Yeah, or like a strong reference. Because people, in passing, you need like a visual reference. Like, show a picture or like a flashback of like her beating the crap out of Fisk or something.
Which you can do. Because all you have to do is like, hey, this happened.
You can even reuse footage if you want. Just make it look like, hey, audience, Echo still is around. This is the Echo repercussions. Watch Echo. Like... Because at the end of Echo, Wilson Fisk decides to run for mayor. So if you didn't watch that, sure, you probably will be fine. But the more you know.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, so I'm down for more Daredevil Born Again. I'm glad they finished filming the first half. If they release it one half at a time and take a little break like Invincible did, I'm totally fine with that. But, you know, wait till the product's in full completed before you release it. We don't need any budget cuts.
And we'll get to that when we talk about Invincible Season 2.
Yeah, my notes for this one were first half Punisher, yay! And that was it for that one. Yeah. Those are my little yellow notes. What's the next bit of news, James?
We have Dynamite acquires a license for Terminator for 40th anniversary, which should be owned by Disney. But I
made a point that they've licensed to Dynamite before. They're making Disney villain comics, right? The Hercules comics coming out. Yeah, like Hercules is a pick of the week. So. Yes. Disney, so it does make sense that Terminator could come out through Dynamite, but I think it would have been better if it came out through the 20th Century brand. Because then imagine seeing Alien versus Predator versus Terminator, and then I said versus Planet of the Apes, and then versus Wolverine, because we already have that. So I know I'm going a little too hard, but imagine the possibilities.
Let your brain settle down for a second. Because it's so weird that they're licensing it through Dynamite, especially like you just said, they have the 20th Century brand in Marvel, where
that's and they have three different properties: Alien, Predator, Planet of the Apes. Why not throw Terminator in there?
Right.
Keep whoever's writing it; like it's the same. But it could have been where Dynamite just picked it up, and Disney was like, "Oh yeah, whatever."
Yeah, exactly. It could be more cost effective for them to just like let them.
Yeah, they probably saw that Dynamite was doing a pretty good job at selling out the other Disney books that they licensed over to them. So they're like, why not give you Terminator? You know, you guys can maybe do something cool with Terminator. We have too much stuff going on with our 20th Century brand right now that, you know, if the Terminator anniversary goes well here, maybe after that, we'll steal it over at, you know, after the 40th anniversary. Give it a year and a half or two and then see if 20th Century brand is still in there.
Well, that's the whole thing. like the problem they're running into now is they're doing the Donald Duck book, not Donald Duck, the Uncle Scrooge book by Jason Aaron.
That one's over at Marvel, but it's only a one shot, I think.
Yeah. But why do that if you could just do it at Dynamite? And I think it's more of like they're picking and choosing what brands to keep and the ones they're licensing off others. But now,
so I think the Jason Aaron one comes from like the end of his contract.
It could be that, or it could be like just like in general, one of those whatever nonsense things. You know, nothing crazy, nothing like end of contracts. So it might just be like he had a cool idea, and they're like, "Yeah, sure, just put it under our Marvel brand because we're not going to ship you off to Dynamite."
I mean, isn't it, there, and if isn't it no, like a play on like the Infinity Gauntlet? So maybe that's why. Yeah. So maybe that's it.
Yeah, that's probably more why, because they're like, it fits our brand better than.
Yeah, it's a parody on Marvel, so sure.
But also, how licensing works is that Dynamite would have had to buy the media license for that character from and license it and buy the license rights from Marvel for an X period of time. And if they're only putting out the one shot, it makes no sense to go do that just for one shot through Dynamite. They would lose too much money. Dynamite would lose too much money for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes more sense that they're just doing a one shot. Sure, Marvel could put it out. But like the Terminator one, that's why the Terminator one doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Why would Dynamite buy the licensing rights from Marvel to do the Terminator book when Marvel already has established the Alien, the Predator, the Planet of the Apes brand under the 20th Century Fox imprint at Marvel? That's what's throwing this whole thing off. It's not like they don't have that brand or just one book. Let's say they didn't have the 20th Century brand, and they just had the, like, when Aliens first came, and they were just part of Marvel Comics. You know, it's not like that's what they're doing, and then Dynamite came across the license and was like, oh, let's get it. It might be like no one had an idea. Someone at Dynamite reached out, didn't realize they didn't have the license. They went to Marvel, went to Disney and was like, hey, can we buy the license for this for X amount of money? They're like, sure, then go ahead and make the book.
But yeah, it looks like Dynamite's looking to reprint. Yeah, it looks like Dynamite's looking to reprint books. They had the license back in 2007 to 2010, so it looks like they're going to reprint a bunch of the old stuff and then make new stories. So it's kind of like they're reclaiming it. They're working in tandem with Disney and Marvel in some capacity, but more so in a licensing aspect. But yeah, it says on here, I found the article you were talking about. New stories and classic reprints are planned, all in collaboration with Studio Canal SAS. I don't know who they are, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll continue on. We have the new DC What If, drawn by Mike Mignola, which is crazy because he said he would never work with DC ever again.
That's just a cover, which, right?
Is What If Jason... It's just a cover, but he hates DC.
Well, I mean,
which is What If Robin Lives?
Yeah, we already got that though. It was a movie.
Yeah, well, that was the Choose Your Own Adventure one.
It was still a What If Robin Lived. They had more than one scenario that Robin, Jason Todd lives. They have one where he becomes Batman, one where he becomes this other guy, and one where he. Where Batman dies instead, and it's a whole, he becomes like a Hush character. Yeah. So I think I wrote down waste of paper. Why? Who cares? Who wants this? We as a society, as in not me and you, because we weren't old enough, but we as a society decided Jason Todd has to die. Fuck this guy. They brought him back with a reality punch. Red Hood's awesome. I absolutely love the Red Hood as a character. Jason Todd is probably my favorite Robin. Sorry, Dick Grayson, but I'll get to my Red Hood conversations at another time. But this is just we already got a story like this in 2020 through a movie. We don't need a 4-issue comic book series that is going to give us something that may not be as cool as what they did, or maybe it's better, but it's just a waste of time. Why? Who wants this? Why? We all wanted him dead. Why do we care? Who wants this?
A lot of people, Jason Todd.
But why?
Because you have to understand,
we have the What If He Lived story. He's alive.
I know we do.
Three Jokers, he gets revenge. We're good.
What they're trying to do is the story of him going forward from the moment where he would have died forward. So you would see alternate takes on things like Tim Drake and the alternate takes of like him hunting down the Joker when he's a kid instead of him being an adult. You know, what would happen between him and Batman if he goes on this bloody rampage? You see the variant cover is him. He kills the Joker, I guess, in the book.
Yeah, well, if you watch that movie we were talking about, it's all over that. It's all the same. Everything you just said is in the movie in some capacity, except for Tim Drake.
Yeah, but those movie clips are like 5 minutes a piece, 20 minutes, not even 20 minutes.
They equal a total of 90 minutes if you complete one whole run. It's a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's Choose Your Own Adventure. It's not a movie.
It's still a movie. It's still a movie. If you let it sit and play the entire regular thing, if you just like sit there, it'll play the entire story of Under the Red Hood, except they have that little Superman bit at the beginning, I believe.
Yeah, which is the alternate. Yeah, they added that footage.
Yeah, where he tells the story.
But yeah, there are a lot of people that want Jason. But there's a lot of people that want this story because they want it to be like, well, if Jason ever actually died, what would happen? Which would be include him staying on the Titans, which would be no Tim Drake. It would be things like the Killing Joke.
It would really just be no Tim Drake.
Well, no, he'd still be on the Titans because he was only kicked off the Titans because they were getting ready to kill him off in the book. They were getting ready for that vote, so they didn't want him to be on the team. God forbid he died. And they made he became a popular character on the team. Then they couldn't kill him off.
Killing Joke happens before Death in the Family. Just a heads up.
I know it does. No, I know it does. It just
in
it's technically
in the timeline and how it's written, it takes place beforehand. But I could see how they would want to, because it released later on, I could see how they would want to touch upon Jason Todd being around for the Barbara attack. I think that would be that I would like to see, only because that one is technically messing with the timeline rather than just rehashing that movie or giving us he'll just become the Red Hood, but not as late as he did.
Well, the thing is,
even though he's Robin, like if he kills the Joker, he's just Red Hood but in a Robin costume.
No, I know. But again, you have to understand, it's not just like the movie, because most people didn't buy that movie because it's Choose Your Own Adventure.
Well, I'm aware. James, I'm well aware, but it's still a waste of time because you can just tell people to go watch it.
You believe it's a waste of time. If you believe it's a waste of time.
It's a waste of paper.
Just like most Elseworlds, they're all waste of time and space. They don't really matter.
Well, no, the Elseworlds are fun because what if Batman steampunk? What if Batman Cthulhu? Sure, they don't matter, but those are different ideas. Those aren't rehashed nonsense. It's not something we got before, or and the Elseworlds aren't what ifs. The Elseworlds are just the closest one you could say a what if was for Elseworlds. Besides all the crossovers, is Speeding Bullets, because that's what if Batman had Superman powers, or what if Superman took Batman's costume? I forget exactly what it is, but but Batman flies in that one.
Well, no, it's the what if is if the Kent raise if the Wayne's raised Clark instead of.
Okay, so yeah, that's a cool what if. Yeah. But what if Superman was actually Frankenstein? That's not a what if. That's not something.
No, that's elsewhere. Like the nail is another whatever. It's like if the Kent
guards, but yeah,
there are some that are actually what ifs, like the nail, you know. But mostly Elseworlds are just Elseworlds. This is an actual what if. They're trying to do like a mix of both, which kind of makes sense. They want
Don't
to
steal
do
ideas.
That. I mean, it makes more sense. It's and it's not
they've done something like this before at some point, but not this. This is just
it's fine. Know. It's not a bad idea.
It feels unless they're building this to be something where at the end of this what if storyline, this version of Jason Todd jumps into because DC loves their alternate worlds, you know, and multiversity. So what if this Jason Todd becomes a threat for something later on? Then sure, I'll accept that. But if you're just doing it to do it, don't waste my time.
Well, most of these are just doing it what to do it. Like, they don't – most Elseworlds, even if you want to put it that way, are just to do it to do it. It doesn't matter because you don't need to read –
give me some do it to do it.
But they just do it to do it. They all are doing to do it. Like, Dark Knight of Steel is just to do it to do it. It's just a cool book, you know? DC versus Vampires, it's just a cool book. They're just doing it to do it, you know? All those, anything that's
out of but it's canon, way different than this, James. It's very different.
Yeah, but it's not that much different. I feel like you're taking it more of a, well, you just don't like the idea. That's why you're so hard up against it. Like, if you don't like the idea, it's fine that you don't like the idea, but it doesn't mean that
it's not that I don't like the idea. It just doesn't matter.
But none of them matter.
He did live. Fun fact, he did live.
I mean, technically, yes.
Spoilers, he's alive. Like, I don't know how to. I don't know how to reiterate this point enough. He's alive.
Yes, because Jason's in the book. But the thing is, it's not meant to be. It's meant to more of like, it's meant for older fans to do their what if and watch it. Not like, oh, hey, they don't like this version of Jason because he was brought back by a Lazarus Pit type of nonsense. That randomly he was found by Talia just in time when Batman couldn't find him in the rubble. You know, type of stuff. That's all it is.
You can't convince me this isn't a waste of paper. There's nothing you
can say. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just being...
You're trying.
Because the reality is...
You're trying to tell people, this book matters. It doesn't. This is literally a waste of paper.
Then tell me why, like, the Kingdom Come matters, or why... I'm just using bigger DC Elseworlds.
It's an entirely different universe. It's not a what if.
Yeah, but
this is a what if. This is pitched as what if Jason Todd lived. He did.
Yeah, but what's the point? Then what's the point, though? Tell me why it's a point for me to read Kingdom Come. It doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I'm not saying you should read Kingdom Come. I haven't read Kingdom Come. I don't care.
You should read Kingdom Come. Everyone should read Kingdom Come. But it's one of those, like, any Elseworld or any what if, it's kind of a BS scenario, just like they're doing, like, what if Venom now at Marvel. You don't have to read those books. They're out of
canon. Well, the Marvel what ifs are very different because they've set the standard for, since the beginning, what is a what if. That's different. Yeah. DC's never done something akin to this. They've chosen to do Elseworlds. And like I stated before, the only Elseworld that I can at least remember off the top of my head, sure, there's a bunch, but they're not popular. They're not the ones that people talk about. They're not the ones that get reprinted. They're the ones that get left to the wayside. The ones I'm talking about, for Marvel at least, are the ones that they started with. The only DC one they have is Speeding Bullets. You can say Dark Knights of Steel. You can say DC versus Vampires, but that's not the same. It's not changing something in regards to something that happened in the past. It's this what-if scenario, if you want to phrase it like that, is what if a vampire... who did they bite first? The Flash? The one of the Wonder Twins? Green Lantern. What if Green Lantern... Nightwing, technically, because he's the Vampire King, right?
Yeah, but that happens, like, halfway through the first
issue. Yeah, I haven't finished that series yet. I've only read the first 6 issues and then one of the spinoffs. So I don't know the exact spoilers on, like, why he's the king. I just know he is. So, like, either way, but, like, it's not, like, what if Nightwing lived. It's what if Nightwing got bit by a vampire. Very different. Well, they've done Batman Dracula before. Like, you know, I'm not complaining about them doing what-if stories. I'm complaining of them rehashing something that is unnecessary. Not even that a movie was made. I'll stop bringing that up. The movie wasn't made. Whatever. Yeah, but sure, if you want to go down to brass tacks, every Elseworld, everything that's not canon, doesn't matter, not necessary. But Elseworlds have a certain style about them, a certain look, like with Gaslight and with Doom that came to Gotham, that like sets it apart. It's not what if Batman Cthulhu. Right. It's got a whole different slew of things, not even counting the movie, like that changed up a few of the characters. Like, if you just go based off Doom that came to Gotham, that's got all three Robins alive at the same time, until they're not, obviously. But at the beginning, it's all three of them are alive. And they all have different, like, backstories and how they got adopted by Bruce in that regard, because he's a different kind of Batman. That's not a what if. That's an entirely different world. That's an Elseworld. If you want to set this up, I think bad marketing. The what if is really what's, like, triggering me, if you want to put it that way.
Right.
If you said it's an Elseworld where Jason lives and he becomes this, then that's different. That's a dark multiverse. That's but calling it in quotes a what if, I think that's may just be bad reporting, not from you, but from whoever wrote the article that we're pulling it from. Sorry, credit's not where credit's due, but okay, bleeding cool. There you go.
Bleeding cool.
So, like, exactly where I came maybe from. They phrased it poorly and I'm reacting to that, but I think the style that it's being at least marketed as right this second is a waste of time. If you say it's a different universe and then you're say and you tell me that this is going to be its own world and next time Multiversity happens it'll be in the guidebook, then sure, whatever. I can live with that. That's fine.
Because that's the whole thing.
I would love to see a Jason Todd Batman come around again and start fucking stuff up. Or a Robin who is Jason Todd who never died but killed the Joker, that kind of shit. Like, give us a problem.
Remember, at the end of Dark Crisis, it was kind of DC's editorial way of saying, if we put out a book, it all matters in the grand scheme of the multiverse, quote unquote. That's why we got like Gargoyle of Gotham and all these Elseworlds and Black Label books. Like, they matter.
Well, Black Label, I would say, is different.
I mean, yes, and there's always been an issue with
Black Label's an imprint, it's a brand, it's something different, yeah. Those are specifically set up to be, quote-unquote, dark Elseworld. If you're Black Label's another word for Elseworld, if you really want to brass tax it.
But, yeah, it really is. But for a mature... But
they can get away with it a little bit more because of how they set it up. Yeah, it's mature.
Yeah, because there's a thing that happened in, like, Outsiders this week, which is a phenomenal issue. They show the DC, the biker chicks from that miniseries. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it's called, but
neither do I.
I forgot. It's something. It was a toy line that they made in the comic. Anyway, but they're also referenced in the DC guidebook and where they're at in Outsiders. Like, it's a realm where of the forgotten. So you meet other characters that have been, like, out of continuity and have been used in forever. And the joke is, like, oh, how'd you get here? Crisis or cancellation? And they're like, what do you mean? Like, well, Crisis, was there a big white flash and you don't remember anything? Or did you just appear here after doing something big and heroic and you were just talking with your friends and then it never finished? And, like, that's what it is. But... and I think what it is it's not a what if, because you're right. The what if part of it is if Jason lived. The thing is, Jason.
Well,
is
they even
alive,
said it. Jason's There's a Batman lived. Issue that they released what the alternate cut of Batman 428 looks like, and Jason is left in a coma. And if he ever does wake up, Bruce decided he's never going to let him be Robin again. So we already have the answer.
That's the thing. That's where pretty much I think they're taking it from that point.
Yeah, forward. The facsimile you're referencing, I believe, is called Batman 428 Robin Lives. Came out like last Christmas-ish.
Yeah, it came out actually Christmas time this year. Last year, technically.
Yeah, so and I remember at the beginning of this little me getting a little up in arms. I remember at the beginning of this little news bit, you did mention that it spins out of this facsimile, but they gave it to us. We already know. What are we doing? This just adds more fuel to my fire, James.
Well, no.
The rest of the story is he goes to kill Joker. We've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
Put the red mask on.
Exactly. Like,
let's get it over with. Become the Red Hood, but this time at age 16 instead of 17.
It's watching his descent into madness. That's what you were going to see, and that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting that bit of it, and when you see, and probably when it's collected in trade, it's going to be like whatever they're going to call the book. I forgot what exactly it was called.
It's called From the DC Vault, Death in the Family, Robin Lives, number one. What happens after Jason Todd survives his encounter with the Joker? That's the entire title. I'm just going to hit you with that.
That's too long.
Yeah, that's the entire title. I'll text it to you.
That's too long of a title. But when it's collected, it's going to be like those four issues plus the facsimile.
Yeah, it's a good collection. The likelihood of me collecting it will be high as long as it's not, like, bad. Just because I like collecting Batman stories, it is what it is. But I'll still be pissed about it. Like, I'm going to stay pissed. So but if you make it, I'll buy it. Dude, I don't... this is also... Cool. This is another version of the title. You just take out the last little bit. Just all the way up
even
to number one.
Still too long.
Yeah, just call it Death in the Family, Robin Lives, number one. That's
yeah,
it.
That's all you have to do.
Yeah, from the DC vault. Fucking get out of here. It's like Tales from the Crypt kind of shit.
Yeah, because they're doing things like...
They should have just called it Legends of the Dark Knight, Death in the Family, Robin Lives Number One. But, you know, we're just podcasters.
Yeah, what do we know? Let's wrap this up real quick.
Comes out July 10th.
Yeah, it's going to be in the next solicitations. We're like 3 weeks away from it, that's why. So, we were talking Geoff Johns news.
Yay, we like Geoff Johns. At least our podcast does.
I mean, yes. This was kind of weird. It came out of nowhere. So, do you remember not like 3 years ago they did the Batman The World story? Like the hardcover?
Yeah, that was the... Yeah, it was like a bunch of different stories from a bunch of different creative teams from around the world, all kind of culminating into one Batman story. Yeah, yeah. It was like an OGN. It's on my list somewhere to read. I heard it was cool. I just never got around to it. I think Sabrina has it.
She does. They're doing the same thing with the Joker.
Okay, it's called Joker World Tour, or is it called Joker the World?
Joker the World.
Okay.
And that's where Geoff Johns is doing the like epilogue to three Jokers in there.
Well, does that mean that the entire story in the world is going to be an epilogue to three Jokers? Or is that – or am I just – I could be wrong about what the story of the world is. It could just be an anthology for Batman. But I thought it was interconnected.
No. So it's – some stories are and some stories aren't. It's an anthology with international writers and artists doing
– Oh, yeah. It says anthology. Yeah.
Yeah, each one's doing a piece of like doing a Batman story set in like pretty much their country.
Okay.
So it's Joker traveling the world, but the Geoff Johns story with Fabok is an epilogue to three Jokers, which is one, it's a weird place to put it. And it's only a 10-page story.
Mm-hmm.
So why the hell do an epilogue anyway? Unless you're The only way to do that is if you're going to tie it to Zdarsky's book and be like, yeah, I'm putting it in here because it's the only way to sell this book.
I mean, it would make sense if they tied it into Zdarsky's book because of what they did in Joker Year One, where they're like, this is a big Joker story. Then if they combine it with this, where they're like, this also matters, and then we're back to Chip Zdarsky. Because if you do want to count three Jokers as canon, that means the one that's alive is what, the criminal? And that's the one we have now? It's the skinny one with the pointed shoulders. That's kind of how I interpreted him. Because the comedian gets killed and the mastermind gets outwitted and then killed. I believe the criminal is the one who lives at the end of Three Jokers.
Yeah, but...
And the criminal runs in line with Zero Year, He's the Red Hood storyline. Which, sure, can be a little bit unreliable given that the Killing Joke is tied into that. But the whole... Who's under the red hood, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
And that is it for news, guys. We'll talk about Invincible now. So make sure you went and watched season 2, both parts, which were both 4 episodes. And let's jump into our thoughts and ideas about Invincible season 2. And we are going to talk about the Adam Eve story also. So if you watch the special, watch that special also before you jump into this part of the episode. But Invincible is on Amazon Prime, created by Robert Kirkman, with a stellar cast. This one, before, do you want to talk about
the Adam Eve special first? Yeah, talk about the Adam Eve special first. It's only an hour, which is about the normal length of a regular episode. And it's a prequel that tells the story of how Adam Eve got her powers and what her whole backstory is, because they didn't want to put it in the main show, I guess.
I guess so, because like it does feel like an episode. It's actually such a good like special, and it makes me want them to do more specials.
I think we will like get this. Given what we got from season 2 with a deeper exploration into Rex and Adam Eve's kind of backstories. I think we will get an episode in between season 2 and season 3 that'll explore the Rexplode and Adam Eve story from the comic books, and then update it to what the current TV show has been adapting. Right. I know it's pretty close, but there's obviously minor changes that they've made to the overall plot that would change it from being a direct comparison. But if you were to do like every in between every season, you do one special episode that like just special presentation style fills in some gaps you want. So I think it would be kind of cool if we did get a Rexplode and Adam Eve coming out, especially after the strides Rex took in this season to be a better character. So,
oh my god, it's so good. All right, so before we jump into this, I just want to get like an initial thought.
Oh yeah, I didn't like how I had to wait a few months in between episodes, but otherwise it was really good. I liked it better than the first season, minus the lack of J.K. Simmons.
Okay. That's what I wanted to get to. So, the biggest problem with season two isn't the season. It's the fact that you made us wait like
it wasn't five months before. It was like 2 months. It was between January something and March.
Was it only two?
The end of March. It was like a month and a half, but it killed everybody's excitement for it.
We have the internet.
Because you released four episodes. You should have just released it all in March.
Yeah, it was November 24th.
No, it was November? Okay, so it was early. So yeah, it was like 5 months. That's crazy. That's even more crazy than I was going to give it credit for to like slide under. That's not so futso, bro. I can't believe.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it's a good season. And I think it does. Like, you went back and rewatched the first half and then watched.
No, I just watched a recap. I watched the recap that was presented because I'm pretty good at remembering stuff that I care about when it comes to TV shows. Like, I can watch a few sitcoms and forget one or two of the plot lines, but for Invincible, I know I remember the episodes.
Okay. I didn't know if you were going to.
I was thinking about it and then I just said, nah. I was like, but by the time season three comes out, I might rewatch all of one and two because if season three, they've promised that it won't take as long, but you never know. Yeah, they better not.
Yeah, they better not.
Yeah, I get charged $100+ a year from Amazon, and that's just me as one person. Imagine everybody who uses Amazon plus all their sales plus blah, 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 blah. You know, we'll just keep going, Bezos. But yeah, I hope that they get it out going. From what we can tell, the animation team should be mostly done because they're starting production on Witches soon, and Witches is the same production company.
Okay, cool.
So what they Scott Snyder said he just handed in his final script for the Witches season one, so they're going to be doing the keyframe animations shortly. So they're, if they haven't finished Invincible season three, or they haven't finished the main bulk of it, and the touch up squad will come in later, then it will be finished up shortly, so then they can start Witches, which is their next project. So we'll probably get it by the end of the year. I'm thinking again with November with the first four, and then with another last four coming in March, if you want to keep that up. If you keep it consistent, I won't complain about the gap, but if you just, you know, just for shits and giggles, doing it, it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
No, I know. And it very much is the... Just put the show out on time.
I think if they kept it and didn't release it in 2023 for November, I think it would have all came out week to week. But because they promised that it would come out near the end of 2023, I believe that they were like, we only have the four episodes done. Everything else isn't finished. So we said it's going to come out, so we'll release them. But I think if they didn't shoot themselves in the foot with the confirmation on release date and then promised it wasn't going to be delayed again, I think they could have just released it in February, like middle of February, and then finished up where it was now. It would have made no difference.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, exactly. I think, and that's the whole thing. The only hindrance to the show is that you forget half the season.
I forgot about Angstrom for a minute.
And yeah, you watch the recap video. Dude, he appears at the very last time you see him is the ending of their fourth episode.
And you see him pop up right at the end of episode 7, but that's because it's teasing episode 8, so yeah.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing, like, you forget he's the villain. And he's not even, like, the villain for the season.
Like, I mean, he's not the villain.
But he's not. Like...
The way that they adapted the comic books, I think is done very well, where it's not just one villain who's evil the whole time. Like, even in the first season of Invincible, Omni-Man doesn't become the villain, at least to Mark, until halfway through the show. We know he's bad since episode one, but Mark is dealing with Doc Seismic and working with Cecil and then the Reanimen, and then he finds out that his dad's evil, and then he fights his dad for the next few episodes. They set it up in these four episode chunks, I think, that kind of work pretty well, where the first episode of season two started with the Angstrom-Levy stuff, and then jumped into the latter half of the Viltrumites in like episode 3 into 4. Whenever the Alan episode was, is when they were like, just kidding, here's something new. And then obviously it finishes back up with Alan, 6, 7, and 8 kind of wrapping up both storylines, along with the Martian storyline that was held over from season 1, kind of. Yeah. It's interesting. I think it's episode 2 or 3 of season 2. Yeah. Okay.
It's season 3. Episode 3. This machination. It's good, and that's the thing. Like, yes, honestly, I think this is a great adaptation of the comic.
Yeah, I think they covered all the way up to issue 39, I think, is what the season ends at, with the death, spoilers, with the death of Angstrom. I think that's at issue 39 or 40.
But covered in a very different way. You know what I mean? Like, we know. Did you see the leaks? The quote unquote.
Did I read the comic book? No. I haven't read the comic book to catch up yet.
No. So there are leaks out. And I know the leaks would be the comic. But there are leaks for season 3, which show like art for some of the characters coming for season 3 and what season 3 is supposed to be. If you read the comic, you kind of already know what the story is going to be, which is the Invincible War, which is why you saw all these alternate marks in the second half of the show. Which is cool, but it's not a spoiler and it's not leak if it's right from the comic book. And because this show does such a great adaptation of the comic, there are some things that are lifted right from the book. Like in the final episode, I'll just use the final episode as an example. The scene where Mark is sitting on, when he's traveling through the multiverse portals and he's sitting on the tower.
Oh, like, dude, that, like, I can't believe they got Batman more than they got the Spider-Man. That was crazy. All the references in that were super cool. Like, we got the dinosaur thing, which came directly from the comic book, but then we got the Walking Dead references. We got Spider-Man heavily referenced, but not being Spider-Man. And then we literally got Batman referenced. Like, we see his hand and everything. Like, that's crazy. I'm surprised they didn't do that with Spider-Man, but because the Spider-Man crossover was more involved, maybe they wanted to be cheekier. Or maybe Sony told them to shove it, but because Batman and DC are working together to do Amazon, maybe that's why Batman was able to sneak in some regard. I don't know. That was really cool to see, but the Spider-Man thing seemingly dropped the ball because of the actual crossover, but maybe Sony told them nah.
So, in the book, both those scenes are right from the book, by the way. They're both right from the book.
I saw the panel-to-panel stuff. I saw everybody recreating this is where they got all these panels from for the multiverse stuff. And I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the Spider-Man thing, I think it was more for they wanted to because it's that this
it's from Marvel Team Up 34 or some shit for volume 2 or 3 of Marvel Team Up.
Yeah, because I think that's when he was working. Was working on Ultimate X-Men at the time.
No, it's not 34.
And
hold on, you keep going. Yeah,
that's the whole thing. Like, well, he looks it up. I'll keep talking. So those are really
cool. Volume 3, issue 14. I wasn't far off. Just a little dyslexic. It's okay. Yeah, Marvel Team Up, Volume 3, Issue 14, Spider-Man Meets Invincible. Art by Corey Walker and Bill Crabtree, written by Robert Kirkman. That was the exact team from the book at the time.
Yep, and that's why they were able to do it, because he owned the rights to his character. The fun joy of Image.
He goes into a portal, grabs a whole ass gun, and then instead of shooting it, swings it. I thought that was awesome that it was a Fortnite gun. Fortnite's cannon to Invincible. The animation team behind it, somebody made like a little parody video of like one of the characters giving the gun to Mark, and then he jumps into a portal, and then the animation team just went cannon. And I was like, there we go. That's fun, like little, you know, internal nods to where it's like, who says it's not canon? He got the gun, obviously. Let it happen. It's fun. Who cares? So I like that was a little bit.
That was cool. I know we're talking about the finale, because the finale was really good. But like the opening with the Rex, And you brought it up before, like,
oh, Rex, that was crazy. Courtney was not happy. She likes Rex. And she was like, wow, okay. And then obviously the next episode we get it and it's all good. But like, we end on that episode and it's like, imagine having to wait a week. We were able to binge watch the entire thing because we waited till the finale. But if I had to wait a whole week for that, I would have been pissed. I mean, I know in the book it happens, but like,
dude, I watched it week to week.
Man, like, seeing that was very cool. And then That's where they needle drop it. I was like, get out of here.
Dude, because you know what it is? I watched it week to week and watching
it. Yeah, happen, I was like, no way. Oh, shit. Dude, and that whole like Ant-Man versus Thanos thing, there you go. That's what would happen. Like, Shrinking Ray did it. But that was no way that Cobra guy did that. That's crazy. At the rate, unless he was enhanced so superhumanly, and that's not a word, but shut up. Like, there's no way he could have stopped her from growing. Like, that doesn't make any sense. When I saw that happen, I was like, either she's dead because he's that strong, or he's going to pop out of her, or she's going to pop out of him. And neither happened, technically. And I was like, what? She just breaks all her bones. And I'm like, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, but that's, again,
I mean, she has some form of superhuman style ability besides shrinking. She does have like somewhat super strength, but yeah. But it's like that Cobra basics. Guy. I mean, It was cool to see, but it was also gross as hell. It made me a little uncomfortable for sure. Seeing her like try to grow through his neck, I was like, dude, what's going on? I was like, just pop him or have her not be alive. Instead, they're like, no, she's alive. I'm like, I feel like all the consequences for that were let go because Duplicate was also alive too. Everybody was fine.
Well, the thing with the duplicate thing was you don't like, so in the comics, you actually don't know for a lot longer that she's alive. Like, it drags out for a little bit where you're like, oh, then you find out that she's alive. Like, when it came to the show, she reappears at the end of the finale and you're like, oh, that makes
sense. I was talking to Courtney. I was like, if I had duplication powers, I would do the same thing. If I was the prime clone or whatever, you know, because I don't know how exactly duplicate's powers work and who retains the prime form or whatever. But I'd like to imagine that it's multiple man style where the one who makes it is prime instead of however consciousness. I don't know how the powers work. They'll probably dig into it later. But I think I would do the same thing if I had her powers. I would just be like, all right, you guys be superheroes. I'm going to go hide because if I die, we all die. Or if I die, we can't make more. If you guys die, sorry, that sucks. But like, well, I'll get you back in some however that works capacity. So that makes sense. It just sucks that she waited so long, blah, blah, blah. But that's no narrative.
So duplicates. Well, yeah. And that's the whole thing. Like, so duplicates powers in the show work. It's not like it's similar to Jamie Madrox. But it's not, there is no prime. They all are the prime. So as long as one of them survives,
they're technically not the prime because don't they, when they duplicate, don't they have a different number on them? So it's always a number one. Why even have a fucking number if they duplicate and then all have number one? That doesn't make sense. I think you're just wrong. No, they have different numbers. I'm looking at it. They have different numbers.
Again, didn't designer. Well, because her brother has the same power, and he's in the book. I was looking over the books because I want to tell you. There's a reason why I was looking at the books at work the other day. I was looking up the Anissa versus Invincible.
Oh yeah, different fight. I looked it up too. I know what you're talking about. I also was like, did they skip it or is it just not happened yet? And they're like, it didn't happen yet. And I was like, oh geez, here we go. That happens in like issue 100 something. So yeah, it'll probably be season. It'll either be the end of season 3 or sometime in season 4.
My balls fell out. I was like,
dude, yeah, the crater. I was like, oh man.
I'm like, oh god, this is it. Like, this is it. This is exactly it. Like, this is. I'm like, fuck. Like, and my daughter. So I watch Invincible. My daughter takes a nap on Thursdays because it's easier. I was like, yo, do not wake up if this is going to be the scene.
Yeah, this will be the worst bit.
My fucking ass fell out. I was like, this is it. I was like, this is fucking it. Oh, thank God it wasn't that.
I wonder when they're going to introduce more characters from Kirkman's Invincible Universe. Like, are we going to see? Because we have Artie Lang, or it's not Artie Lang, that's a comedian. We have Art, whatever, voiced by Mark Hamill. he makes suits for everybody. And there's probably references to characters that I'm not remembering, but as I'm scrolling through images of Invincible, I'm seeing the Astounding Wolfman crossover. His suit was made by Art. Then there was Brit. So I'm wondering when we'll get some of those referential characters like Tech Jacket too. Yeah, I wonder if we'll get any of those. Yeah. Or if you think so. Because I know that Guarding the Globe happens somewhere in the middle, and that's where Brit joins the team and Astounding Wolfman joins the team a little bit. So
it's good. I mean, if next season is the Invincible War,
okay,
next season we'll see them. I just don't think we're going to see...
No, but I'm saying, like, we'll probably see the Kirkman ones. Like, Brit for sure, because he's more heavily involved than Astounding Wolfman was. And then I'd like to see Astounding Wolfman, but I'll take Brit. You know, I'll settle for Brit.
Honestly, we may get a Savage Dragon nod, and we may even get, like, a Spawn nod.
I could see that happening, especially Savage Dragon. Eric Larson will throw Savage Dragon literally anywhere. Todd McFarlane's a little bit more, like... Exactly. Yeah, he's a little bit more like hoity-toity about where he throws Spawn, but nowadays, Spawn is in everything. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Batman Spawn. No, that was an April Fool's joke, but I was about to say I wouldn't be surprised if we get one. Because of how much hype that false news like drew up. I would love to see an animated movie between those two. Get Keith David back. Oof. Hit me with an oof right now.
What do you mean?
Be hyped for that. So, yeah, but I would like to see, like I said, like Brit was more involved than Astounding Wolfman, at least. And I know Tech Jacket was a little bit more involved. So I'll take those two. I understand involving Astounding Wolfman might be a little bit more difficult because of the occultiness to it. But that's where you got Damian Darkblood or whatever his name is. Damian Blood? What's his name? Yeah, he was in one of the episodes.
What, from the Invincible Universe?
Yeah, Damian Blood. Damian Darkblood. I was right. All right. Yeah, Damian Darkblood. He's different. He looks different in the comic books.
But yeah, that's the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, it's not like we won't see them. We're more likely to see
I'm looking at a cover for Guarding the Globe, and it looks like it's Brit fighting some dude, but in the background you see Black Samson, Bulletproof, Shapesmith. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we do get some of these characters, like you said, in season 3. That would be very cool to see. Even if it's only for one episode or it's a presents. You know, Invincible presents Guarding the Globe, and it's just a few of the characters that aren't main anymore, like Shapesmith and company, that are just tossed into this special one-shot that covers, like, the first volume of Guarding the Globe. You know what I mean? Like, that could be kind of cool. Yeah. If you want to use the presentations or the presents or the specials to do like the spin-off content, and you don't want to dedicate either a whole episode to it in the main story or dedicate a season to some of it. Like, doing the Adam Eve thing is good. What we recommended and probably have fortune told, the Rexplode and Adam Eve special would be very cool to see. Again, fill in more of the gaps as we wait for you to finish your 8 episodes. But if they don't do any more, they don't do any more. But if you wanted to, it's there. That kind of thing.
Yeah. That's the way you should do it. You should take those pieces you're right. That's an amazing pitch. Take the parts of Invincible that we normally don't cover or can't cover in the show. Give an hour special. It's a filler gap between the season. Take a smaller team to do that while you're recording the other stuff, and you'll be fine. You know, so we're not waiting 5 months for content. You know, but the season overall is fantastic. And I do agree with you before, though. I like the season more than one. I do think a part of it is the fact that it is the back end of the post-Omni-Man Mark fight. So it's like a little bit more intense, and it does focus on a lot of supporting characters more. Which is cool.
For what, season 2?
The one thing I do wish, though, is that we got
back. Season 2 definitely has a lot of focus on some of the side characters, but not enough to draw anything away. The only side characters we really draw away for are Monster Girl and Rudy. But that's because Rudy is also a robot, and robot's a main character. Yes. So, yeah. We take the Rudy L when we have to.
Exactly. And we get, like, a little bit more of Debbie. I like Debbie a lot. we get Oliver.
And he's
Moore.
Purple well, we in got, this, but he's not purple in the Oliver. Comics, right?
No, he's purple in the beginning.
Is he? Okay. I was looking up some images and I didn't see him, but then maybe he turned out of purple when I was looking at the images.
No, he's purple in the comics and then he grows into his Viltrumite DNA, and that's what makes him like a white guy.
Yeah, I figured because he was part bug, he was purple. Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it. I found one of the panels with him being purple. There's not a lot of them with him being purple, at least as far as I'm looking into. A lot of them are him his older self. When does the time skip happen? Doesn't Invincible have a time skip?
For what? Invincible?
Yeah, it happens like halfway Way through later. When they do the quote-unquote the reboot. Doesn't it happen after that? There's two.
Okay. So there's two time skips. No, there's two. One is so you can't.
No, I know Oliver's got Oliver his advanced aging stuff. I just know there's a time skip because I know at some point. Spoilers for people who haven't read the book. Huge spoilers. I know Mark has a kid at some point, so you can't really like. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's actually there's two time skips. One
which will probably be the end of season three,
and then it's during.
Well, they're setting
no,
it up.
No, Invincible
like
Wars.
They could easily do 4 and 4, but you know, I don't know the exact intricacies of the issues in between those two arcs. So yeah, season 4 could be the end of the Viltrumite War. I could see them doing if they don't adapt everything and they only do 5 seasons, ending the Viltrumite War and then giving Mark a somewhat happy ending could be good. I'd love Invincible to go on for as long as possible, but you know, given their like 20 or so issue recaps, well not recaps but adaptations. Invincible's what, 144 issues? That's going to be like 12 seasons, give or take. That's crazy.
Give or take. Unless you just start doing longer episodes. I mean, longer seasons. Instead of doing 8 and 8. 4 and 4, I mean. Give us 8 episodes a season.
Give us 12 episodes a season.
I know.
They're also giving us hour-long episodes, so.
But yeah, because the next thing.
Yeah, if they were 30 minutes, we'd probably have 12.
True.
But each one averages about 50. No, they're pretty good at pacing in this, I think. Because it definitely doesn't feel like 52 to 54 minutes, but that's how long they are.
I'll watch it, and I feel like I'm done with it. Like, I'm like, oh, it's only like a half hour. Like, no, it's an hour. But no, it's
we breezed so past the Adam Eve thing, by the way. We were going to say we were going to cover it first. So in the Adam Eve special, it's a flashback to her origin story, explains why her parents suck, explains why she's reserved in some regard, and it explains that weird photograph that they have in her jewelry box that only Rexplode knows about with her real family. And it does make you really not okay with your emotions when you're watching that special. I can guarantee that. very sad episode. It's very good. They do even have like a little "Where was Mark during all this?" and he's like, "I'm in," and then it cuts it off. It's so stupid, but so good. Yeah. So let's get back into season 2 now. So it opens up with the Angstrom Levy story on the alternate Earth where Omni-Man and company are evil and they take over the world, and then Angstrom goes, "We got to stop them. I'm gonna go to this other universe with my powers or whatever." And then he's enlists the Mahler twins to help him stop the Viltrumites. And that's kind of his plot line throughout the whole show. I think it's episode 2 or episode 4 where his machine blows up, gives him a mega brain because he has the combined knowledge of every single Angstrom Levy. I think that's his name. It's two of them. It's more than two.
Yeah.
He has all of the knowledge. Oh, episode 2. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I thought it was the end of episode 4 because I know the Alan episode is in the middle of those, but it's the end of episode 2. Interesting.
Great. Okay. Yeah.
So what's episode 4 then?
Because 4 is.
When he goes to find his brother. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had them out of order. Yeah, I had that one as episode 2.
Yeah.
And then the Viltrumites, and then the Angstrom Levy thing. But you know.
Yeah, the Nolan episode is the finale. Yeah.
And then with the finale of this one, I miss my wife.
And then part 2.
I can't wait for the Omni-Man redemption arc.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it's handled. They changed a little bit. I mean, a lot of the characters are still very similar, but they changed a little bit, so I wonder how they're going to be handling it this time. So you have to cut out some of this character and type of character development. Like, seeing Omni-Man at the beginning, and he loves his family, and then he's like, "Actually, you're just pets." And I know he's just saying that so they hate him, so, you know, when they have to kill him to stop the Viltrumites, blah, 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 blah. That's all that, like, I had to do it for my family type shit that we're going to get to see later. But then when he pops up in the new plant, on the new planet with his new wife and his new kid, it really makes you think, does he care that much? I know he says he's time works differently and he's been there for like a long time for him, but not a long time for Mark. It's only been like a few months. So I understand where he's coming from with that. But then all of a sudden near the end of season two, and it comes from the comic book too. They didn't make it up. It comes from the comic. But like he goes, I think I miss my wife. And it's like, which one, dog? Like, and I mean, obviously the bug lady's dead by the time that comes around. But it's like, dude, you're really missing your wife right now? I think you're just, you know, you just feel bad for being a shitty dickhead. And now that the problems followed your family to your new planet, Superman style, it's going to be a, like, you're like, oh man, now I got to go figure this out.
And that's the whole thing. It is that, like, so because a lot of this stuff happens later in the book than it does in the TV show, it makes you feel like it's happening super fast. Because it is on the show. For Mark, it just happened like 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, then he, like, he, you know, he fought his dad. Or it's like a month. I think it's a month between the finale of season one and the opening of season two. Actually, let me just double check that. Because it's very, very fast. Because it's not like it's a, it's 1 month. It's 1 month between the finale mm-hmm. of season one and the opening of season two. In the comic, I think it's like 3 months or 4 months before he even goes up into space. But yeah, it's a very quick like move in the comics. Sorry, in the show, that's why it just feels faster. And yeah, so things like him saying, I miss my wife, the context is like, yeah, but you just had a wife and a family here. Like, do you really miss? I get, and the line is like, oh, hey, he misses Debbie. It's not, it's supposed to be like, he misses Debbie, not.
Yeah, I'm aware of who it actually is. But it just comes out of like, it's like, but you just had this whole other life, technically. I forget how fast the time moves, but he says it happens, and obviously Oliver is like a few months old at that point. And Oliver will age rapidly. So,
oh yeah,
I don't know.
Yes, he will. Mm-hmm. But so good, though. That's the whole thing. Like, I like this a lot. Like, the first half is just the getting, like, it does, I kind of wish we got all this stuff in the middle before we got the reveal that Omni-Man was still alive, but you can't do that stuff in the middle without the reveal of Omni-Man still being alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so it's, like I said, it's really, actually really good. I just wish, I don't know, there's something, like, I wish you could have done, like, a filler story with Battle Beast and one of the other characters that he fights in the book. But I get it. Like, you're paying for all this animation to get done, and you couldn't even get this done in time. You know? Like,
yeah, they have they make the Comic-Con animators joke, yeah.
When they go to Comic-Con. Yeah, which is fantastic.
Yeah, fun fact, after that scene, they don't do it that much.
But it's good, man.
It's like the last episode is right after that, and that's when it goes crazy.
It's true. Oh, yeah. It's fucking wild. Dude, this show is so good. Like I said, this is, I think, the best adaptation of a comic book into a different medium that we've had in a while.
Yeah, man, season two was crazy. Like, I can't believe some of the gore and action and set pieces they had set up for that one. The portals were awesome. The gory deaths were uncomfortably amazing. Like, it's crazy.
Because it does its job, you know? It hits you exactly what you're supposed to feel. Like, you're not supposed to feel comfortable with the gore. And I think they do such a good job where it's not, like, cartoonish where you're like, all right, whatever. You know, like, no, like, it feels, you hit it on its head. Like, it's uncomfortably good. But yes. So, out of 1 to 5, like normal, what are you giving this season?
4.5. I can't give it a perfect score only because of the gap. That was crazy. I thought it was only a month and a half, That's because I watched it in January. I think that's what happened. I watched it in January, and that's why I was like, oh, it's only about a month. But nah, it came out the end of November, went throughout all of December, and then stopped like the first week of this, about the first week of January. And man, if I had to properly wait, that would suck. But I'm glad I only had to wait a month and a half because I decided to procrastinate a little bit on it. But yeah, that's the only reason why I take points off. Like, otherwise, the story is really well written. I love the way they're pacing it. Voice acting's great, action's great, gore is great. But that gap in between really killed momentum for it. And I think momentum in a lot of these animated and most importantly comic book shows, given the volatility of the MCU nowadays.
And I agree with you. It's a 4.5, and it's really only because of the gap. If the gap didn't happen, solid, straight through. So with that, we'll jump into our book recs real quick. We have Monsters Are My Business by Dark Horse Comics, written by Colin Bunn, and art by Patrick P. Pizzaluga? Pizzaluga. Lunga? Lunga. This is very much a Hunter book. It's very cartoony in look and feel. It's about monster hunting. What's weird is they take cartoonish art styles to make them like a monster hunting business. Like it's a father and like talking koala, and he's like a ex biker who like fights like giant Cthulhu monsters. It's weird and over the top. It's again very much a Hunter book. It's awesome, and it makes me surprised that Cullen Bunn has a million ideas enough to make a million comics. But next up, we have Hercules by Dynamite Entertainment, like we were talking about before, with the Dynamite licensing with Disney stuff, written by Elliot Callahan and art by George
You got to practice these before you get into this, man.
I'm going to butcher the names. I was practicing it when I was at work today reading it. Continues exactly where the movie left off of Hercules. It's like a pseudo sequel to the word. Like all those Disney books, like the Disney Villains ones and all that. It's a direct sequel, to Hercules. It's fun. It's classic Hercules. It's the movie. Read it. It's great for kids. I definitely recommend it if you love Disney movies. I love Disney movies. I love specifically Hercules. So yeah, it's an actually great movie. And a great show. Great show also on Disney Plus to watch. We have nothing from Marvel this week, but we do have Uncanny Valley, which is fucking great. This issue, so for a bit now, there's been a lot of promo for Uncanny Valley. It's by Boom Studios and written by Tony Fleece, and art by David Watcher. What happens if you were born with cartoon physics? Like, you as a human being have cartoon physics. Meaning that like if you fall...
I get it. That's crazy.
That's what this book is. It's about a boy who is born with cartoon physics. Like, he fell off a bridge. Like, the opening of the book is he fell off a bridge with his friends. Like, a small walking bridge. And both his friends break their legs. But he falls. And, like, in the Looney Tunes cartoons, like, Wile E. Coyote hits the ground, he falls a little bit into it, like in a shape of his body. That happens to him. He's able to do like the speed running legs. He eats something hot and his face gets red and he shoots fire out of his mouth. It's all tied back to his. I don't want to spoil it because the big reveal at the end is like you can figure out this kid has quantum physics when like two things happen to him in the book. You're like, yeah, that's the story. But there's a thing with his family and this whole weird thing, and like he doesn't because he doesn't look like a cartoon character. He looks like a person. It's really cool. Pick this book up. If you like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, this is that, but closer to the book Who Centered Roger Rabbit, not the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's really cool. Definitely pick this book up. And finally, we have Rat City, which is funny because I thought it was McFarlane writing Rat City.
and I was completely wrong, because I was surprised that
he hasn't written a few of these Spawn ones.
The Spawn new universe. No, he hasn't. But it's written by Erica Schultz and art by Zaya Carlos. Rat City's almost like Spawn. If you want to put it in quick terms, it's Spawn 2099. Set in an alternate Earth or alternate future. Like, we don't know yet, because they haven't given you context clues yet in the book. There is a soldier who kind of does the same thing that Al Simmons did. He was a mercenary for the government, went into territories, blah, 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 type of thing. Set in the year 2117, he has like prosthetics put into him after a faulty attack happens. But then they flash to a thing called a different another time, another place, where Spawn blew himself up. I don't know whether that's canon or not to the Spawn books, but it ripped through time and space, and it gave this guy, like, enhanced him and gave him powers. Like, now Spawn is an AI living in his head. But it very much feels and looks like a Marvel 2099 book. So if you like alternate dystopian futures that are completely cyberpunk and you love Spawn, that's the book to pick up. And finally, we have Silicon. Oh my God, what the hell is it called? Silicon
Bandits.
Where the hell is it? Normally, I have your pictures to go off of.
You told me it was Silicon Bandits. Yet.
So I was like, oh, I'm just doing it off my phone. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Silicon Bandits. It's a sci-fi. It's a sci-fi cyberpunk heist. If you like Cyberpunk the Anime Show on Netflix, that's what this is. A little bit more droll, though, so it's not as, like, enhanced and cybernetic and crazy. Again, set in an alternate dystopian future in which cyborgs are all robots are all the craze. They are now going after robots to steal from them, to steal this kind of proprietary technology to be able to, like, sell, and it goes from there. It's cool. If you like heist stuff, if you like sci-fi dystopian stuff, that's kind of what it is. It's also by Magnus, another book by Magnus.
Oh, you mean Magma Comics? I didn't hear about them
forever until the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I heard about them a while ago. Magma, I put them in publisher's list just to have, like, when I was working at the store. And they announced this merger with Heavy Metal long time ago. And now they're just getting around to releasing them. I mean, it's entirely possible that we're wrong and they were supposed to come out early. They came out earlier and then we just weren't picking them up. But it looks like that they were just delayed. And now they're finally coming out. And I think a few came out last year, but most of them the heavy brunt are coming out now.
All right, that's fair. But guys, that is it. Thanks for listening. You can head over to our website, AndrewsComics.com. Check out this week's previews and new releases. Follow us on Instagram at Andrews_Comics, the podcast Instagram at Andrews Amazing Podcast, and on X, Twitter, Andrews Amazing for up-to-date news. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, share with a friend, and always support your local comic shop. And guys, have a nice day.